You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
And welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. Today is 6/11/21. Well, if you're like me, you've probably been watching futures options, seeing the types of returns that can be accomplished there, but you probably have problems figuring out where to start, where to go, what system to use, and how to actually make money off of this. Well, we've got a treat for you today. We've got someone who's an expert. It's been doing it for decades. His name is Phil Strebel, and the name of the company is Blue Line Futures. And Phil, welcome to the show. So I think in these times where we think markets are getting close to a peak, if they haven't already hit it, we had the S&P on the 10th hit a new record for a change. If you're a nervous investor, what can you do for somebody like that, Phil?
Well, generally what we've been doing is, now you have to understand that economically and the way the global positioning is that, you know, we're continuing to see an economic boom. We're continuing to see interest rates at record low levels. The government seems to be providing all the stimulus fiscally and monetarily. So as far as our models show, over the next quarter, we should continue to see higher highs in U.S. equities. We have bought, you know, every correction that we've seen using the futures markets. But there is that level of concern that you had mentioned, which is when a slowdown does occur. It'll be when the rate of change on economic data starts to compress. We're not seeing this continued massive jumps higher in economic data, and we start to see those contractions. Any business that wanted to come back had come back. Anyone who wants to get a job had got one. So once that starts to occur, you'll start to see the slowdown in the back half of the year, specifically the third and fourth quarter. That's where we're getting a little bit more defensive. That's where you want to start lining up, you know, things that would benefit from declining treasury yields, things like gold, silver, and then also you could look at protected positions utilizing the S&P 500. So many of the clients that we do talk to that do have stock accounts that are just completely independent from us, their advisors are starting to lean them more into a cash position.
All right. So, you know, one of the things people think of using futures and options for particularly is to kind of, I don't want to use the term portfolio insurance because that's somewhat dated, but as a hedge against the types of markets you're talking about, where we could see a pretty quick correction, pretty big decline any moment. You know, the jobs picture is improving gradually, but maybe it's seen, like you said, it's the majority of its improvement already. And so gold and silver, they've been doing pretty nicely. They've been on a bit of an upswing here. You think we're going to see new highs in precious metals?
So it's completely possible. And you know, you mentioned something, which was the jobs picture. And that's something that I really measure and map, you know, every initial claims, every, you know, API or ADP, and also a non-farm payroll number. We're measuring all that out. And what we saw was, you know, two disappointing numbers in a row. And remember, the Fed, they've got this two-part policy. They want to see inflation up near the levels that they're targeting, which we're right there at. But also they want to see that jobs recovery. And the jobs recovery has just been much slower than anticipated. And if they're going to continue to build like 550,000 jobs a month, it's going to take well out 12 to 14 months in order for them to achieve that full pre-pandemic employment. Therefore, you know, markets like gold and silver should benefit. And I do want to point out one thing, though, that gold and silver are really two completely different asset classes. You know, gold operates more as a currency. It fluctuates off rates and things like that, the dollar. Whereas silver, I think it's got more of a supply-demand structure and increasing numbers of uses, especially on the demand side with limited supply out there. So the chart patterns a little bit different on gold and silver. Silver's a bit more stronger.
All right. So, yeah. Yeah, obviously, because silver is, to a large extent, an industrial metal, as well as investors purchasing it for the reasons we stated. And but gold is trading near its all-time high, and silver really is 40% below or more.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, silver, that's one of the markets that, you know, almost every 6 months to a year, it does get kind of an attack on the back to the upside and also the downside. So we're expecting, you know, another potential movement higher up through that $30 range. We don't see really a $50, you know, move in the cards. It's just that it's been so suppressed by, you know, paper money and things like that. You've also got quite a few of the mines that are starting to come back online. They are forward hedging all their products. So there are these headwinds for silver at those higher levels, but we do firmly believe that you're going to see that $30 to $35 price band as the new price band going forward on silver once we get break through that. So what we've been doing with clients is we are using those options to go out to March, and we've been buying March 29-30 call spreads. Real inexpensive play. You can take $1,500, potentially turn it into $5,000. If we get that close over 30 at expiration.
All right. So that's where options are particularly well suited, right, to play this kind of move that you're anticipating.
Yeah, we're utilizing like calculated risk on it. So it's a trade where you're risking 30 cents on silver in order to buy, in order to potentially make a dollar. So every penny move on it is $50. So it's calculated risk. We're going out. This is something that people are putting, you know, in their accounts just as a small potential play if silver does break out to the upside. We've seen so many of those smaller stocks get targeted. There's no reason that silver couldn't be one of those commodities that's targeted.
Yeah, so minimizing risk is kind of what options future trading is all about, isn't it?
Yeah, you can make futures trading or any investment out there as risky or conservative as you like. You know, we do have individuals because, you know, that silver is all deliverable. What's on the CME, someone could open up a futures account, buy a 5,000 ounce contract at the spot price, take delivery of it, go through the process, and then have it actually loaded out and exported to a financial institution of their liking. So you could prepare loadouts and things like that. I've helped many people do that. So, you know, there are ways of accumulating commodities on a conservative basis through the physicals.
So how hard is it to actually exercise your option or your future and actually take delivery? It's a bit of a process involved there, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, somebody could come right now and they could buy. So if silver fell like $1.50 or $1 today, that's where we're really looking at, you know, these big washouts. That's where our clients will receive a phone call and say, hey, would you like to purchase something like gold, silver? We also focus on like platinum, palladium, copper. If we get those kind of corrections, there's people, you know, we'll call them up. We'll tell them, hey, the silver market's corrected. Consider buying 1,000 ounces right here. They purchase the futures contract. They'll go through the entire, it is a bit of a process. They've got to go past first notice date. They've got to fund the account up all the way. And then they'll get a warehouse receipt that indicates that what they hold. Then they wait for one of these explosive moves, and then that's where they sell it out. So it's a whole nother strategy and level of.
All right. Yeah, I know. I've heard of people doing it. I've never done it myself. And I know it can get complicated. I mean, I'm sure you heard the stories of the doctors buying cattle futures and kind of screwing up. And then they get the call on the phone. Hey, you know, we got like 5,000 head of cattle. Where do you want them? And obviously with the metals, it's, you don't kind of run into those situations of impossible delivery or very unlikely delivery, right?
Yeah, and we don't really have those. So we have a policy where we get them out of the contract the day before futures notice date on any of the commodities, unless they are looking at the delivery process. On gold, silver, platinum, all really easy. It's quite common. A lot of people use it. And I think it's one of the most efficient ways to accumulate metals close to that spot price. And then also it's extremely liquid. With futures, you have about 23 hours a day, Sunday night through Friday, to liquidate and get in and out of the market. So the silver market and gold on COMEX, those are some of the most liquid markets for those metals.
All right. So you mentioned copper before, and we've seen a huge run up there. Now it's kind of biding its time. Do you think it's going to, it almost went parabolic. Is it going to keep going here, or are we going to have some pullbacks and eventually higher?
Don't just survive, thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
FPX Nickel is developing the large-scale Dakar Nickel District in central British Columbia. Within the district is FPX Nickel's PEA stage Baptiste Nickel Deposit, which is projected to be among the world's top 10 largest nickel mines by annual output. The Baptiste Deposit has the potential for the lowest quartile operating costs at just $2.74 per pound. And compared to recent global nickel mines, the project requires a low capex. FPX is also commencing its first ever drill program at its Van target in the Dakar Nickel District. Surface samples have indicated that the Van target footprint is larger in scale and 10 to 15% higher in grade than Baptiste. FPX Nickel trades in Canada as FPX and on the OTC under FPOCF. To learn more, go to FPXNickel.com. That's FPXNickel.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
So it was definitely a best performing commodity from the pandemic low. Most people saw it as part of a reopening, an infrastructure spill, which is what many countries try to focus on, different types of improvement in their own economy. So copper was easily one of the targeted metals going up. We also saw supply disruption on copper. That was what caused the whole run-up. The pullback that we've seen recently, remember, China was one of the first countries to have COVID, so they were locked down first. They were the first ones to come basically out of these lockdown restrictions. Since then, their economy has gone through the complete cycle, and right now it is starting to slow down just a touch. Their economic data is lagging. That's where copper prices followed it lower. So you've really got to pay attention to economic data in China in order to see where the next move on copper lies.
All right. And obviously, yeah, they are consuming over 50% of the world's copper. And as you know, like bringing a new major copper mine online is at least a decade long process. So you seeing further shortages, supply shortages or deficits down the road?
Oh, it could be completely possible. I mean, we're already seeing it in other commodities like platinum and palladium. Those have had multi-year decade shortages. You know, copper is one that relies a lot on government spending and also expansion of different products. So the, you know, the infrastructure with copper, it changes pretty quickly. We see PC supply builds and shortages on Shanghai and also on the LME for copper quite often.
Right. All right. Well, that's certainly an interesting case. And yeah, there's also the inflationary play on the commodities and the metals. What's your take on inflation?
So inflation actually started a year ago. That was when we saw the economic data start to take off back to the upside. We came out of this contraction and we started to awaken as an economy. The inflation really accelerated back in November. That was when the vaccine distribution started to take place. Some of the lockdown restrictions and people started to get more mobile. So you look at road traffic in the U.S., the U.K., and also in Spain, they've achieved pre-pandemic levels. So continue to see, as long as there are supply chain distributions issues, you're going to see inflationary risks. And you can take it down to simple things like, you know, I'm at a secondary house down in Florida. It's more of a beach community. When you go to the grocery store, you know, I went to go buy 3-4 things yesterday, and they just don't have them. And it's not because there's a shortage of the product, it's just a supply chain issue. So when the product does come available, it's much more expensive down here, you know, in certain areas, especially certain commodities. So, you know, we're going to see, until that supply chain issue gets resolved, we'll see that inflationary pressure. And what relieves it is when we come back to full employment. That's when the supply chain issues will be back up and running.
All right. And the same thing goes for lumber, too, as well, right? I mean, lumber has quadrupled in price. Now it's been coming down a bit. How much lower? Nobody knows. But this is having impacts upon housing, home builders. It's a lot of unintended consequences coming, and a lot of dislocations. New housing prices go up $30,000-$50,000 as a result. So, is this temporary dislocation, or are we going to see this more of a permanent thing? Maybe not at its existing price, but maybe double where it was a year ago at 800 instead of 400.
It really had broken out to the upside. Yeah, once it crossed through like 300-400, it was quite an acceleration. Lumber had a little bit of more a unique situation because of the fact that you had the social distancing at the sawmill, and you had those loans that were going out, the stimulus checks, and people, the first thing they did was, you know, I know all my buddies, they went and they went to Home Depot, they bought all the lumber they could, they built bars in their basement because they had nothing else to do. So there was definitely a run on the available supply that was out there. The shutdown between US and Canada for our borders and things like that, as well as a lot of those people that work in the sawmills, they're making more money staying at home with additional government stimulus and unemployment benefits. So they're not coming back online as fast until some of those benefits. And I know it's been a very controversial topic. However, I have called some of the sawmills and things like that, and that was what they indicated to me. So, lumber prices, that squeeze is coming down because I think we've gone through quite a bit of demand already that's already been factored in. And I was just talking with a client earlier, that chart pattern right now in lumber, it looks like a Christmas tree we had back in my family in the 90s. Straight up, little broken wing, now we're coming back down on the other side.
Right, and so it's a typical, see it over and over again throughout history, parabolic moves. When you see a move like that, it almost has to come down.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of ironic. The phone was ringing off the hook over at Blue Line Futures for people opening up to speculate in the lumber market. But I actually write a report where we provide some recommendations on lumber. I had to take it out of the report because of the fact that it was reaching that peak hysteria point. And I knew that, it wouldn't be suitable for all, future traders and things like that, because lumber is a very thin market. It does oftentimes make expanded limit moves out of nowhere. So it's definitely not always that suitable of an investment for people.
I got a question for you, Phil, since you're very versant, familiar with the futures market in lumber. Do the big home builders hedge their position for lumber, much like Southwest Airlines hedges their position for jet fuel, for petroleum?
I think they were initially when it had first reached that all-time high. And then what we'll see is the same thing that we've seen like in the metals in the past, where major mining operations, they'll hedge when we're in this long-term channel or we reach all-time highs because it's great for shareholders. They've locked in these profits. They know what their profit margins are. But it seems like when the wheels fall off and prices break out to the upside, they start to actually lift some of those hedges at losses, and they start speculating on the long side. So it definitely works as a double-edged sword, and you'd have to look at those financial documents from each one of those home builders.
Yeah, I'm just curious about it because lumber, this is very, like you said, narrow kind of market, not a lot of players involved there, and just curious about that. All right. Well, Phil, it's been really enlightening speaking with you. If you want to find out more about you and about Blue Line Futures, where do you go?
You go to www.bluelinefutures.com. We've got a great flagship report that we put out to our clients every day. It's the Morning Express. You can register for it. Myself, I contributed to it. My partner, Bill Baruch, he's the lead writer of it. He's been on your show. We love you guys over here.
Hey, same here. And Right. So you should subscribe to Blue Line Futures to that morning report, because that'll give you a good handle on where things are heading. And even if you're not perhaps speculating in futures and options and commodities right now, it'll give you a good inside view of where the economy is really heading, won't it?
Absolutely. So we cover all the data and everything, and it gives you a breakdown on U.S. equities, gold, crude oil, and just it's a couple page report, comes out every day. You get it by the 8:30 open, and it'll give you a nice overview, a couple ideas and things that we're looking at.
All right. Well, we really appreciate you coming on, Phil, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you again. And good luck, and let's see where the market heads now.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Hey, and if you got a question for Phil or myself, just email us, kl@carrylutz.com. Phil will be happy to answer for you. And make sure you go to our site, Financial Survival Network. Sign up for your free newsletter. Phil, a pleasure. Be well.
Thanks a lot. Take care.
Thanks for listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to FinancialSurvivalNetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.